Grace, mercy, and peace are indeed yours from God your Father, in and through his Son, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Moses was well-bred, being raised in the courts of the Pharaoh. Good education, good food, plenty of creature comforts. Sort of like being raised in Fort Lauderdale, Newport Beach, or perhaps the Hamptons. Yet he still had a heart for his people, the Hebrews, held in captivity by the Pharaoh. One day, when Moses walked outside, he saw an Egyptian, one of Pharaoh's men, beating one of his people, a Hebrew. Moses lost it, killed the Egyptian, and buried him in the very sand and dirt that the Hebrews used to make bricks. The next day, when Moses was again out and walking around, he saw two Hebrews fighting. Can't you imagine what he thought? Oh, no, not again. As he broke up the fight, one of the men said, "We know what you did to the Egyptian yesterday. Are you going to do that to us?" This conversation made Moses think, uh-oh, these guys know what has happened. Soon the Pharaoh will know, and I will be in deep trouble. I am out of here. Pharaoh learned of Moses' hasty departure and was more than just a little bit upset. He put out a hit order on Moses, mafia style. So Moses got out of Dodge and traveled to Midian. The Midianites were nomadic people, so they perhaps understood Moses' need to relocate. They were traders and merchants and were descended from the marriage of Abraham to his second wife, Keturah. Some call the Midianites the first Arabs. Once in Midian, Moses sat down at a well, looking for rest and a little water. Seven beautiful women came to draw water from the well for their flocks. Dr. Wenthe would certainly describe these women as beautiful evidences of our creation. But trouble arises. Nasty, evil, bad shepherds came to try to drive these beautiful women away from their well. Moses rose to the occasion and made the nasty shepherds hightail it out of there as fast as possible. Why, Moses even watered the women's flocks for them in a very gracious act. You see, chivalry is not dead. Reuel, the father of these seven women, happened to hold a high office in Midian. He was the priest of Midian, and he was enamored of Moses for having saved his daughters, his flock, and for driving off the evil shepherds. Moses moved into Reuel's household, and things must have gone pretty well, for Reuel gave Moses one of his daughters, Zipporah, to be his wife. So that's the biblical account of how Moses met and married his wife. Quite a story, isn't it? Did you meet your husband, your wife, your boyfriend or girlfriend that way? No, probably not. More likely it was Match.com, Lutherans Online, a blind date, a college thing, an LCMS youth gathering, a conversation at McDonald's, or through some Lutheran Yenta back in your home parish. I met my wife 50 years ago this year in high school as I began tutoring her in Latin, or according to her false account, as she began tutoring me in Latin. Although the people of Midian had no tribal religion and worshipped many different gods, false gods, we have to believe that Reuel's household worshipped the one true triune God. Moses wouldn't have married a woman who worshipped a false god. He was the progenitor of the Missouri Synod of the 50s, and before you married outside the synod, you did so at your own peril. That's the end of the prolegomena for this sermon. Now for the heart of the text. God the Father is Reuel, at least by way of analogy. God the Son is Moses, who typifies Christ in so many passages of Scripture. And Zipporah, in her wifely role, represents the church, the bride of Christ, given to the Son, and who is one with the Son as his body. The Father calls and brings the Son unto himself and gives the Son the church for his care, love, and redemption. Reuel, Moses, and Zipporah are indeed something special as they point to the unfolding reality headed to incarnation, cross, term, tomb, and resurrection. You see, God wanted the Hebrews to be correct in their understanding about these realities and relationships. Marriage equals Christ and his church. Marriage itself is not, of course, a means of grace, but is perhaps a means of the means of grace. As husband and wife live faithfully in the Word, living for each other in this special relationship. Reuel the Father loves Moses the Son and gives Moses Zipporah the church. The Son gives himself for his bride, the church. This is the wonderful ontological and economic reality of the Scriptures right here. All Old Testament theology is Christology, to redact slightly the words of one of your professors. We live on this side of the incarnation. We don't completely understand the other side because the pre-existent Christ did not have a body, and we are limited to theophanies, images, and the divine voice. But there are enough words in the Old Testament regarding the theological significance of marriage that we can say one thing for sure. Christ himself blesses marriage as an icon of himself and his church, whether a marriage begins with Christian mingle or sleigh bells jingle. And of course, Christian marriage always points to salvation in Christ. The oneness we have in our saving Lord Jesus Christ through washing, meal, and word are the content of our marriage to our groom. Whether we are currently married, about to be married, formerly married, never married, or are in any other homosexual marriage category, heterosexual marriage category that I might have forgotten. Freudian slip. Moses' marriage to Zipporah will serve to strengthen both of them for all the challenges that lay ahead. And there would be many of them while journeying through the wilderness. You and I have many challenges yet to come. Some of them will not be pretty. Some of them will be living hells. Yet we persevere in those sufferings, for we know that we are Christ's bride. He died for us, indeed for the sins of the world, and allows our continuing sufferings to conform us to him. Our sufferings are not the final word. His victory over death and the bestowal of forgiveness upon us is his final word. What more could we ask of a groom faithful to his bride? We, Zipporah, have married well. Our groom, Jesus Christ, is indeed the perfect groom. In his holy name, amen.